Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, this is Jesus, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. Somebody say he can't hear, and he had an impediment in his speech. Somebody say he can't talk. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. Jesus took him from aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's not the symptom, it's the source, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. That's what we'll be talking about for the next few moments, symptom versus source. How many of you know what a hypochondriac is? How many of you are sitting next to one? A hypochondriac, Webster defines as someone who is neurotic when it comes to their health, where they always think something's wrong. They will literally create scenarios in their head that are simply not there. I think that's what fear is. A lot of times fear is creating scenarios that are simply not there. And the enemy loves to get us thinking about what might happen, what could happen, and all of the bad things around us that could come and happen to us. Bishop watches a program on TV called Snapped. Anybody ever watch Snapped? Is that what, that's what it's called, right? My God. Wow. Okay. And Snapped is, I've only watched one or two episodes, but Snapped is about spouses that over time, they snap and they kill their spouse. I can't have those kind of thoughts in my head because I'm a deep sleeper, y'all. And if Mandy ever gets mad enough, I know very strong people that hate to sleep because it's their most vulnerable time. And so this Snapped scenario, watching these things, Tyler and I watch a lot of 48 Hours and shows like FBI and Law and Order and all of those types of things. And if you're not in a good place, all of that stuff starts bouncing in your head. What if that happened to my family? Come on now. What if that? And to know that the evil that is around us, let me tell you something, and we've jokingly said it. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You got to have the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You got to have the Holy Ghost to walk to get your mail at the mailbox. I think some of us are naive to what is going on around us. You would be shocked at the kind of people that are living within 2 miles of where we sit today, of what they think on a daily basis. Those terrible accounts and stories of young ladies especially being kidnapped and locked in a home, in an attic, in a basement for 15, 20 years. And all the neighbors are always shocked. I never knew that could happen in my neighborhood. And it's all of the craziness going on around us that if you do not allow yourself to be governed by the Spirit of God, what is going on around you begins to creep in you. I preached on it many times before. It was Simon walking on water, which is a miraculous thing, but he was looking at the waves. He was looking at the wind and what the wind was doing. And when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me, because he was drowning or about to drown. When you drown, what happens is what is around you gets in you. And what you once swam in and had dominion over, or in Simon's condition, what you were walking on is no longer under your feet, it's in your lungs. And we as believers have to make the choice every day, church, that I'm not going to allow what's going on around me to get in me. I'm not going to allow the fear of this world to get in me. I'm not going to let the lust of this world affect me and get in me. I'm not going to let all of the negativity and all of the backbiting and profanity and lasciviousness. I'm not going to let. Isn't it amazing that we can be in this world, but we're not of this world? Isn't it amazing that you've got enough Jesus and Holy Ghost on the inside of you that you can go to a job tomorrow that is filled with all kinds of filth and people that are not Jesus followers, and you can stand clean, and you can stand whole, and you can stand free? And it's all because we are not victims of symptoms. We don't allow the symptoms of the world to dictate to us who and what we're going to do. Here is a man who had two problems: could not hear, could not talk. One is a symptom, one is a source. Too many times in our lives, we deal with the symptoms and not the source. The problem with dealing with the symptoms, church, is when you have something happening in your finances over here and you come over here and you get the fire put out in your money, something creeps up over here in your marriage. Then you run over here and you're putting this fire out, and then something happens with your kids. And while you're working on your kids, something happens on your job. It's because the devil loves to run us ragged chasing, fixing symptoms. When God did not call us to be symptom fixers, God said, I am your source and I can fix the source of your problems. Can I encourage the church? A lot of us have been chasing symptoms in the kingdom of God, and we don't realize that under the symptoms, under the surface, under the superficial layer of the devil's attack, there is a source, and he's distracting us from the main thing by keeping us chasing the little foxes in our lives. One of the greatest inventions ever, they're going to put it on the screen, is your friend and mine in times of need, NyQuil. How many of you are firm believers in NyQuil? Raise your hand. Come on now. You haven't lived until you've been stuffed up, coughed up, sneezed up. So these are gels. I couldn't find a high-quality picture of the actual liquid, so these are gels. I don't like the gels because they take too long. The liquid tastes terrible, but man, it's quick, and it makes you sleep so good. However, when my head is stuffed up, I'm coughing and I'm sneezing, NyQuil has helped save my marriage at least 3 to 5 times, because when I'm hacking up a lung and I hear Mandy's irritated sigh at 3 a.m., I get up and take a double shot. I don't encourage you to take a double shot. It's the only double shot I take of anything, but it saved my marriage. Now, my stuffy nose, my sneezing, my coughing, my headache, my fever, my achiness, all of those things are not what's wrong with me. It's the symptom. NyQuil is over the counter. You can buy it anywhere at any time. You don't have to have a prescription. You don't have to be a doctor. You can go buy it at any time. The problem with NyQuil is it tells you right here, it helps your headache, it helps your fever, your sore throat, your minor aches and pains, your sneezing, your runny nose, and your cough. The only thing that it does is it helps your symptoms, and it only helps them for about 8 hours. And so what happens is you like the effect it has on your symptoms. And so after you take it at midnight, you're already counting down the minutes that you can take it again at 8 a.m. And it's not designed to get you over sickness. It's designed to get you through sickness. And so for 8 hours, I feel better about my situation when, guess what? The source of my cough, the source of my congestion, the source of my fever, the source of why I feel like I feel is still the same. It has not been affected in any way. My body is just numb to the pain for a few hours, and then I take another shot, and it's numb to the pain. And some of us treat church like we do NyQuil. If I can get to the next Sunday, I'll feel better about myself for the next 6.5 days, but I need Sunday to come again, and nothing really happens because we're just stuck in the symptom cycle, and we're dealing with our symptoms, or we're not dealing with the source. but I've come to give you good news. You don't have to be a symptom chaser anymore. You can get in line with Jesus Christ. You can get his word established in your life, and you can start dealing with the source of life and say, Jesus, the reason my life is not what it should be is not all the symptoms that the devil has me chasing. There is a source that I need you to deal with, because what I'm chasing is a symptom of the real problem. So the devil doesn't mind us chasing symptoms as long as we are distracted from the source. See, the reason that the woman at the well had had five husbands and was living and shacking up with the sixth man that wasn't her husband, her choice of men was a symptom. Five divorces was a symptom. The source was a lack of a real value of love, intimacy, and relationship. When Jesus comes, he says, go and bring your husband to me. She says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. That's the last time Jesus talks about it, because that's not important to him. Those are symptoms. He came to seek and save that which is lost, not put Band-Aids on them, to save them. He said, your real problem is what you worship. I'm going to preach myself happy now. It's John 4 in your Bible. Read it. He said, your real problem is not that you've been married five times. Your real problem is not that you're shacking up with some dude right now. Your real problem is that you worship men instead of the man, Jesus Christ. Your real problem is that you're focused on relationships instead of the relationship. Can I encourage somebody that you've had a lot of busted and broken relationships? Can I encourage you for the next 6 months to focus all of your attention on Jesus? And when you focus all of your attention on Jesus, every relationship that you've ever dreamed of, everything that you've ever desired, God will bring it to you. You won't have to chase it. You won't have to get on Christian Mingle. You won't have to get on Ebony's Meat. You won't have to get on FarmersOnly.com. I cover the spectrum there. You won't have to get on any of those things. When you get the source right, it wasn't a man problem, it was a worship problem. He said, we get your worship fixed right, we'll get your relationships fixed right. How many of you have been here longer than 30 years? Hey, listen, I ran into a woman, blessed woman, been a member here. She said, this is my 30th year anniversary today that I've been a member at Living Way. I said, praise God. I said, when was your first Sunday here? She said, and she told me the date, and she said, 1979. I said, that's 40 years. She said, no, I've been a member for 30. I said, I'm counting. You've been here for 40 years. She said, yep, I knew you before you were born. I said, you and Jesus, you both did. There's a man, the reason I asked if you've been here longer than 30 years, there's a man named Walter Cakey. Anybody remember Walter Cakey? Walter Cakey, when he came to Living Way, was home running a home cell out of his house. Weekly, he had 250 people show up at his house. You talk about a block party. He came to Living Way, became one of our associate pastors, was one of the sweetest men I know, one of the strongest men I know, and I loved Brother Walter Cakey, and he's the only one that could get away with this. He handled like 90% of the counseling at Living Way Church, and when people would come to counsel with Walter and they would lay out their problems, the first thing he would say is, are you a tither? And they'd say, well, Brother Walter, I'm not here for finances. I'm here because I'm having problems in my marriage. Are you a tither? Well, that's not really why I'm here. My 16-year-old young person, they're drifting away from God, and I need, are you a tither? Well, no, I'm not. Well, you're under a curse. He said, the curse in Malachi 3, come on now, I knew I wouldn't get a lot of preaching here, a lot of amen here. The curse in Malachi chapter 3 is not over your money. It's over your life. Because God said, if you can't trust me with that, how are you going to trust me with anything else? So when they'd say, well, no, I'm not a tither. He said, well, first thing you need to do is go back out to your car, get your purse, get your wallet. Let's get this week's tithe check written out. Every counseling session would end with him coming to Bishop's office and saying, here's so-and-so's tithe check for the week. You say, I don't believe that. That's fine. You don't have to believe it. But I do know this, that if you're under a curse, You're under a curse, and it's everything. It's not God cursing you. It's you're under a curse, a self-imposed curse, because you have not connected with God. You say, I don't like that preaching. Take it up with God. I just work for the man. That's upper management. I'm just here preaching and telling you what I believe, that when you understand that tithing is a source issue, that God, if I can trust you with my money, I can trust you with my marriage, I can trust you with my children, I can trust you with my future, I can trust you with my job, I can trust you with my health. It all comes back to source. I knew that wasn't going to be well received. That's all right. We'll move on. We'll get to the good part now. So the unnamed man comes, and Jesus has left Tyre and Sidon, verse 31, and he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they brought unto him one that was deaf, could not hear, and an impediment in his speech. Which really does not mean, I said it wrong in the initial text, I said he can't speak. Impediment implies that he could speak, he could not speak right, could not speak clearly. And so he took him, and they beseeched him, they begged him, one translation says, to put your hands upon him. Can I encourage you, get around some people that know what it means to have the touch of Jesus. Because I don't know much about his friends, but I know that they knew enough about Jesus to say, listen, man, you can't hear, you can't talk right, doctors can't do nothing for you. We've tried a lot of different things, but there's this man named Jesus who's left Tyre and Sidon. He's come across the Sea of Galilee, and I believe it's your divine appointment. I know I preach about it a lot, but who you roll with, who you run with, who you do life with, it matters, because sometimes when I can't hear God, and sometimes when I'm not saying the right thing, I need a Sister Tammy Green, I need a Big G, Brother Kevin Green, I need him to come and say, listen, man, you need a touch from God. You ain't hearing right. I don't hear you talking right. I'm going to take you to Living Way, or I'm going to lay hands on you right now. You need a touch from Jesus. They beseeched him. Said, Jesus, touch him, touch him, touch him. Jesus leads him by the hand. We know the five senses, two of the senses, his mouth, what he tastes, what he hears. It can't be. He can't hear. He can't taste. And so Jesus deals with one of the senses that he does have. It's touch. He takes him by the hand. He leads them away from the masses and away from the crowd. Can I just say this in passing? It's not really a point of this message, but will you allow yourself to be made uncomfortable by Jesus if it means you getting to your miracle? Will you allow Jesus to bring you out of your comfort zone? Will you allow Jesus to take you away from people that you've always rolled with, that you've always run with? It might not be forever, it might be for a season, but do you trust Jesus enough? This is the first time, I'm sure, that this man has ever met Jesus, ever seen Jesus, and his friends are there, and he can see all of these things around him, but he cannot express to Jesus his need. He cannot hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him away. Couldn't hear, couldn't speak right. Took him by the hand, he felt the touch of Jesus. And then Jesus leads him away because Jesus wants all, for all that he can see, to be Jesus. Takes him away from the masses so that the distractions of friends, the distractions of comfort, the distractions of how it's always been, so he can't see those things anymore, and his eyes are focused. He is alert on Jesus. He is now 100%. That's what I love about worship. And, man, I'm going to buy this worship song as the first time I heard it today. And, listen, I am going to raise a hallelujah, and I'm going to praise, shout, roar, and sing all week long. Bethel Music, is that right? Bethel Music, is that the best? Harvest Live? Harvest Live from Pastor Rod Parsley up in Ohio. So get the Harvest Music Live version if you can. I'm going to give you permission. No, I'm not going to give. I was going to give you permission to rip it off YouTube. I'm not going to give you permission because this is recorded. So don't do that. I'm going to get that on my playlist this week, and I'm going to shout, I'm going to roar, I'm going to sing. Why? Because worship allows my focus to be just me and Jesus. That's all I want to see. I don't want to hear Fox News. I don't want to hear CNN. I don't want to hear the talking heads. I don't want to hear about all that. I want to focus on Jesus, because sometimes, let me just testify about Brandon, sometimes I can't hear God like I'd like to hear him. Sometimes even I don't say the right things, and sometimes I need to see Jesus and be focused focused on him for an unimpeded amount of time so that I can hear right and talk right. And until you see Jesus right, you're not going to hear him. You're not going to talk right. I need to see Jesus. That's why worship's so important. Let me encourage you, and I'm not bashing anybody in this room today. That's why I sit on the front row. I don't sit on the front row because I'm the pastor. I sit on the front row because I don't want to see you take little Johnny to the bathroom 8 times. I don't want to see you putting your earbuds in. Some of y'all listen to something during church. I don't know who you are. I see you with your earbuds in every service. I don't know what you're listening to. Hopefully it's Harvest Music Live. Probably not. I don't want those distractions. That's why these people that are sitting all over this room, they come and, man, some of them put their toes right up against this altar. Why? Because this is my time when I can see Jesus with nothing else in my sight. That's why worship should not be confined to a sanctuary, should not be confined to a day or time of the week. That's why we must pray. That's why we must worship. That's why we must praise every single day. Because when I worship you, Jesus, I'm looking at you and only you. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm not focused on anything else. I'm not worried about my money problems. I'm not worried about what's coming in front of me. God, I'm focused on you. Took him by the hand, led him away from the crowds, led him away from everything. He put his fingers in his ears, one finger in either ear. There's a touch of Jesus. We don't hear this story preached about a lot. We hear about the blind man that Jesus spit in the clay and made clay. He takes it even one step further. He spits in his mouth. It doesn't say he spits in his mouth. It says he spits and then he touches his mouth. So in my estimation, and he's rubbing it in his mouth. Can you be made that uncomfortable? No, Jesus, I don't want you to do that. Well, then you're not going to be able to talk. Well, Jesus, I want you to do it this way. Jesus is not going to do it your way. This is not McDonald's or Burger King. Jesus is going to do it his way. And if he wants to run me through the mud, run me through the mud. I can wash the mud off. I can go get me some Listerine. I can gargle. Whatever I need to do. But whatever you say to do, Jesus, go ahead and have your way. If you want to put your fingers in my ears, go ahead. If you want to touch my tongue, go ahead. If you want to spit in my face, go ahead. You're Jesus, I'm not. You're God, I'm not. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And if it gets me to hearing and gets me to talking, that's all I need. Touches his tongue. Now, there's something I glanced over in the first service. I want to spend just a moment talking about it. It's interesting, verse 34. And Jesus looked up to heaven, which he's done many times. But I'm going to have to study this out because I don't think he's done this next thing as many times. He sighs. I've never sighed because I was excited. I've never sighed because of expectation. I've sighed because I've been annoyed. I've sighed because they should know better. They should know the route. Jesus looks up to heaven and sighs and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. What I love about this entire story is Jesus does not have dialogue. Two words, be open. When Jesus speaks over you, listen to what he says. Because sometimes it's not going to be an entire verse. Sometimes it's not going to be a chapter. It's not going to be poetic. It's not going to be a poem. It's not going to be a paragraph. Sometimes he speaks in the most simplistic of terms, be open. And you know what I love about this? I've never thought about this till this story. He wasn't speaking to the man. He was speaking to the ears because the man can't hear. Oh, you missed it. He wasn't speaking to the man. He was speaking to the ears. Can I encourage you? Sometimes Jesus talks to you. Sometimes Jesus talks about you. But sometimes, like in this case, Jesus talks for you. And you might not be able to hear it, but let me tell you that God is speaking on your behalf. And he sighs because he knows these ears should know better. They should have known that they're going to cross paths has with me, and that I was going to bring healing, that I was going to open it up. Can I encourage somebody that has some faith today that you've been under a closed heaven? Jesus is saying the same thing. He's opening the heavens above you. He's opening his warehouse to you. He's opening his life to you. He's opening his hand to you. He's saying the same thing in 2019. Be open. Doors that have been closed, be open. Gates that have prevailed against you, be open. People that have stopped following and stopped listening, he's saying, be open. And when he says, be open, boom, things happen. Immediately, the Bible says, his ears become open and his tongue is loosed. Besides the spit on the tongue, Jesus never talked about his mouth. Jesus never spoke. Tongue be loosed, mouth open, mouth operate like I created you to operate. And the reason Jesus doesn't speak to the tongue is it is not the source of the problem, it is a symptom of the problem. If you've ever been around somebody deaf, and I don't say this in any way to denigrate them, but I've been around deaf people, and the way that they talk is labored. The way that they talk is impeded. And the reason that they sound different and pronounce things in a different way is because they can't hear. The Bible says this, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's more than just a physical hearing. Can you hear what Jesus is saying? Can you hear what Jesus is claiming over your family, over your life, over your church, over your community? He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. There's some of us that we can hear perfectly and audibly, physically, but our ears are closed to the voice of God and what he's wanting to do in our lives. Then we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is important that we hear. And the reason that this man could not talk right is because he could not hear. Talking was a symptom. A lack of hearing was the source. Jesus did not deal with the symptom. Jesus dealt with the source, because he said, if I deal with the source, everything connected to the source will dissolve. He will talk right now because he hears right. If what we hear, if the lack of hearing causes the way we talk to change, then that gives us proof that we are the first people to hear what we say, which means you better watch what you say. Why is it we get mad at somebody for coming at us a certain way and talking about us and saying this about us and saying that about us and being negative about our family and being negative about our situation, and we'll bow up and we'll bristle up and say, don't you talk about my family, don't you say that about me, but we say the same things about ourselves and we give ourselves a pass. Can I encourage you to get your mouth right? You get your mouth right. You get your hearing right. When you hear the right things, you're going to say the right things. When you say the right things, come on, you're going to have the right things. When you start declaring those things, it's because I've heard the right thing from God. I've heard the voice of God. And as the praise team comes, I want to encourage somebody in this place today, you need to get a different mouthpiece in your ear. There are way too many people that you're listening to what they have to say and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. But I'm here to tell you, if it is contrary to the things of God, if it is contrary to the word and the presence of God, you need to close them off, and you need to hear what God is saying, because God is never going to lead you astray. God is always going to speak a blessing. God is always going to speak something future. God is always going to speak destiny. God is always going to speak breakthrough. Sometimes it comes as a rebuke, but if I'm rebuked the right way, I'm going to live the right way. If I can hear from God, I'm going to speak the right things. Stand on your feet. This is what he says. Be opened, ears are open, mouth is untied. Jesus looks, and I've always thought, because this happens quite a few times in Scripture, Jesus looks at everybody in attendance and says this, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what you've seen. Turn off the Facebook Live. Don't tell anybody. Don't post about it. We're not going to be taking pictures. This is not a photo op with me and the man that was deaf and me and the man that couldn't talk. Nobody speak about what has happened. And this is just Brandon talking. This is just Brandon's commentary on all of this. I think Jesus tells everybody else to shut up. Because he said the man who couldn't speak now speaks. And the one that couldn't speak will speak for all of us. The one that, oh, you missed a good place to shout right there. The one that's been silent for years that could not talk now will talk. And he's going to tell everybody he meets on the street, his employer, his family, I met a man named Jesus. He put his fingers in my ear and he said, be open. And from that day forward, I could hear perfectly. Man, Jimmy, you don't sound like you used to. I don't sound like I used to, because God took the source of my pain, of my predicament, and he turned it around. And everything in my life that was hooked to that thing. My friend Andrew Willis says a great statement. I wish I'd come up with it so I wouldn't have to use his name. He says, when a man rises, everything connected to that man rises with him. He said that at every men's advance that we've ever done. And I want to take the man out of it. Now I want to make it as a believer. When a believer rises, everything connected to that believer rises. When Jesus deals with the source, everything connected to that source is resolved. It dissolves. It is resolved. It is a miracle is done in the midst. I want to talk. This is Geronimo. Geronimo got saved and baptized in the first service. Praise God. We celebrate with that. He's back for a double dose. You say, well, he just got saved. You should never say, man, that guy goes to the altar too much. Why don't you? That girl praises too much. Why don't you? That guy's too loud in his worship. Where's your loud worship? Come on, this ain't for Manu Ginobili. This is for Jesus. This ain't for the Commanders. This is for Jesus. Right? He's here for a double dose. But I know that there's at least two dozen here in the house with Geronimo that are chasing symptoms. You're symptomatic. And you pray all the time, Jesus, deliver me, deliver. It's a symptom thing. Don't chase the foxes of your life. Get under that superficial layer and dig deep and say, Jesus, I want once and for all for you to cut the head off of this snake so that it does not come back, so that it does not live again, so that it is not resurrected in my life. If that's you, I need you to join me in this altar right now. You've got about 2 minutes. I'm not going to beg you, but I do want to encourage you. Come to this altar. You're chasing symptoms. You say, Pastor, I'm running low on money. Not having enough money is a symptom. I promise you, it's not the source.